Ready? Okay, good morning. The weekly share from Maseches Chagiga is sponsored by Yitzweiss CPA, who always strives to make the results of your tax filings a good reason for Chagiga, and their Refuah Shleima from Yamin Simcha Ben Adina Minya. And the weekly breakfast, as always, is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Lua Nishmas Shimon Ben Zev, and Fega Bas Chaim. And we're doing Chagiga Daf Hey. We're going to start, I'm not sure where you got to the last week, but we'll start five lines from the bottom on Dalet Amud Beis, because you kind of need that to start the flow. And we're talking about the phenomenon of people who are taken before their time, people who die early. And the Gemara says, Ki hada Rabbi bar Abaye. There was a situation involving Rabbi bar Abaye, have a shchiach gabi Malach HaMavis. So Rabbi bar Abaye was buddies with the Malach HaMavis. Amar Lei was shluchei, and he overheard the Malach HaMavis saying to his messenger, Malach HaMavis apparently doesn't work alone, right? But works with messengers. Zil Aisi Li Miriam Megad Laseir Nishaya. So the Malach HaMavis said to his messenger, bring me, meaning it's time for the death of Miriam, the woman who grows women's hair. I guess she's a hairstylist or something. Grows hair of women. So the messenger didn't exactly do what his job was. And also, I see a Miriam Megad Lodardike. By accident, he brought Miriam, the kindergarten teacher, not the one who raises hair, but the one who raises children. So Amar Lei, so the Malach HaMavis said, you got it wrong. Ana Miriam Megad Laseir Nishaya Amri Lecha. I told you to bring me Miriam the hairstylist, and you brought me Miriam the kindergarten teacher. That's very bad news for Miriam the kindergarten teacher, right? So Amar Lei, so the messenger was compliant and said, oh, okay, Ihachi Ahadra, if that's okay, I'll return her back. I don't mean to disturb Miriam the kindergarten teacher. So Amar Lei, the Malach HaMavis, who's not such a nice guy, said, Hoel v'aitisa lehavde l'minyana. Once you already have her, let's count her towards our quota. So the Gemara says, so that was an instance where someone was taken before their time. This poor Miriam, the kindergarten teacher, wasn't supposed to die, and because of a little snafu by the messenger of the Malach HaMavis, here she was facing her demise. So the Gemara then says, Elahechi Achaltola. So apparently, in order for the Malach HaMavis or his messenger to do their job, there's got to be some kind of mechanism where her zechuyos fall away, and that makes her vulnerable to an early taking. So the Gemara says, well, how did they work that out exactly? So, Elahechi Achaltola. So the Gemara says, Havanakita Misara Biada. She was holding, Rashi says, some kind of stoker of the flames of the coals in the oven. She was stoking the flames in the oven with some kind of spit or a spigot or something like that. She was holding that. Vahavas kashagra umacharia tanura, and she was sweeping the tanur with this. Shakalta vanchasa agaba dekara. She dropped it and it fell on her foot. Kadcha, she burned her foot. Visara milsa mazala. As a result of this, her zechuyos kind of got used up because she kind of survived that impact, and as a result, she used up some of her points, so to speak. And that, was a opening for the Malach HaMavis or his messenger to take her. Va'aitisa, and they took her away, and they snatched her, and that was how she ended. That was how her life ended early. So the Gemara then says, Amar Lei Rabbi Bar Abaye, Islchu Rishusa Lemevet Hachi. Is it permissible to act in the way? Does the Malach HaMavis have the authority to take people before their time? Amar Lei, he said to him, Velo Ksiv. Doesn't it say, the pasuk we just quoted a little earlier, v'yesh nasfa b'la mishpat, that there are people that are taken without an accounting, without mishpat. So he responded, Amar Lei, v'aksiv dor ho'ech v'dor ba. Doesn't the pasuk say that generations come and generations go, as if to say that it needs to be the time of the generation? Dor ho'ech v'dor ba somehow implies that it's got to, that generations have their appointed times and they all come in orderly fashion, and so it's not appropriate for someone's life to be ended before their time. So the Malachim Avos answers, that's true. I can't really take someone before their time. I don't have that authority. But I have a mechanism for kind of holding them in line until their time really does come. Amar Darino Luhu Ana, I shepherd them, I kind of line them up, Admou Luhu Ludara, until the time comes for the end of that generation. In other words, until their appointed time, I kind of hold them in a holding pattern. Vahadar Mishalima Le Luduma. And then I hand them over to Duma. Rashi explains that, if you look at Rashi, it's the third Rashi, Darino Le'ana, Eni Mosran L'Shomer HaMesim Sheshmo Duma, I don't hand them over to the watchkeeper of the Mesim, whose name is Duma, El Miskalgo in Imi V'Shatin Ba'olam, rather I kind of roll them over and they just float around in the world, Ad Shismalu Shnosav, until their years are taken up. So there's kind of this holding pattern that the Malachim Avos is able to keep people in until their time has really come, and then he passes them over to Duma, the Shomer HaMesim, and then they really die for good. Okay. So then he responds to the Malachim Avos, okay, it sounds like an okay mechanism, but Amrei Sof Sof Shaneha Mayavdis. What do you do with the extra years? Here you cut someone's life short, practically speaking. So there are extra years that they never filled. So Amar, so the Malachim Avos says, Iika tsurba merabanan demaver bimile, if there's a Talmud Chacham who is maver almidosav, who is not makbid when someone is disrespectful to them or something like that, so then they merit getting those extra years. Mosifna luhu le v'havya chilufe. So then I give them the years, and then it all adds up. It all equalizes. And that they get the extra years from the person who was taken early. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan kimati lahaikra bachi. When Rabbi Yochanan got to the following pasuk, he would cry. Vatsisiseni bo levalo chinam. That this is a pasuk in Iov, in which Hashem is saying to the Satan, I have this great guy, Iov. He has lots of maisim tovim. He has lots of zuchios. He's a great guy. And yet you, in the context of him describing Iov, he says, and he's the guy who you convinced me to take early to kill. So the reason why Rabbi Yochanan would cry when he got to that pasuk was because he made the following calculation. He said, Evan shirabo masisim lo v'niseis takano yeshlo, a master, slaves who have the capability of influencing the master in that way, where the Satan could say to the Ribono Shalom, take this guy Eov early, and Hashem will actually go along with that plan, so that's really bad. Takana Yishlo, do we have any kind of fix against that? We're all vulnerable to that kind of influence of the Satan, and that's why he would cry at that pasuk. This is a member of the Gemara that's really hard to understand, right? The Ribono Shalom is somehow susceptible to the convincing of the Satan, even against the interests of justice, that there's no specific reason why someone should be taken early, and yet the Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to the Satan when he tries to convince him. So if you look in the Maharsha doesn't make it easy, because the Maharsha here says, go to the Gemara in Baba Basra, and my Perush there. So I had to go to Baba Basra, And he says the following on this pasuk. He says, "Einon el shaber ozen." He says this is all allegorical, and this is just to kind of capture your attention. Einon el shaber ozen, ve'im lefarish hadvarim kepashtan. You don't understand these words as pasha pshat. Ki ein avlo lefanav. There's no injustice in Hashem's calculations. V'lav edina bo'edina. Hashem doesn't actually do anything without a reason for it and without justice. He says, at the end of the day, we just don't know, and we can't explain why some tzaddikim undergo yisurim, why some people's lives end early. The pasuk shot of the pasuk, which is where the Hashem talking to the satan and say, you convinced me to take someone early, that was just kind of a colloquial phrase that was intended to echo the speech of the Satan. This, from the Satan's perspective, he had convinced Hashem to take Eov early, and so Hashem kind of echoed that back colloquially in speaking to the Satan, but it's not to say that there wasn't real justice underlying whatever Hashem's motives were. Sometimes we don't, as we all know, sometimes we don't understand the justice, but there's always is, as says the Maharsha, reassures us, there always is some justice, or full justice, in Hashem's calculations. okay, so Yumachad, this is Rabbi Yochanan. Yumachad have a ka'azil bi'urcha. One day Rabbi Yochanan was going on the path, chazialahu gavra davaman keteine, and he saw an individual, he saw a person who was picking figs from the fig tree. And he was doing something peculiar, shavik hanach de matu, he would ignore the ripe figs, vishakyo hanach de lo matu, and he would pick the unripe figs. So, Amr Le, do we skip? Oh, I'm sorry. Rabbi Yochanan kimatu haikra bachi. Rabbi Yochanan, he would, that's important, because that's the introduction to what we're about to say. Thank you. Rabbi Yochanan, when he would get to the following pasuk, he would cry. What was the pasuk? Heim biktoshav lo yamin. Pasuk, again, in Eov, which says that in my trusted ones, that they have no faith. Ibiktoshav lo yamin, that if Hashem has no faith in his trusted ones, b'man yamin, who is he going to trust? This is all bad news for all of us. If Hashem doesn't trust his faithful ones, who is he going to trust? And so therefore, Rabbi Yochanan and Yumachan, to explicate this, Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says that one day Rabbi Yochanan was walking, on the path, and he saw an individual who was picking figs. He would pass over the ripe figs, and he would pick the unripe figs. Amr Lei, so Rabbi Yochanan said, Lav honey malant fei, why are you ignoring the ripe ones? Aren't those nicer, better figs? Shouldn't you be picking the ripe ones? So Amr Lei, so this individual said to Rabbi Yochanan, honey urcha bainan, I'm picking them for a trip. I'm about to go on a trip. Honey urcha bainan lehu, I need them for the trip. Honey natran, vahani lo natran. And so therefore, if I pick the ones that are not ripe yet, they will keep. Those will watch. This is kind of, I think, the modern...
You buy green bananas,
uh-huh. Right. Or even, I think, modern farmers, they pick the unripe bananas and then they kind of ripen over and on the way. When you ship them from California, there's some time that it still takes for them to ripe. Similar here. He was, for his journey, he was picking the unripe figs and figuring that they'll last longer and he'll be able to eat them later. So Amar, so Rabbi Yochanan said, "Hainu dechsev heim biktoshav lo yamin." This is a good understanding of what the pasuk says when it says that Hashem, the pasuk we just quoted, "Biktoshav lo yamin," that my faithful ones I do not trust. What's the idea? The idea is that people who are, Rashi says, "Hatovos yorei pen yirkavu," people who are the good ones, meaning the figs that were already ripe, the concern is that if you pick them, they're going to rot. And so too, people who are the tzaddikim, Afa tzaddik habachur, Rashi says, Hatovos yari pen yirkavu, which is just like the figs that were ripe, he was worried that they would rot. Afa habachurim hatzaddikim nechazim lemisa penyechetu. So too, but the bachurim, the people who are ripe, people who are filled with good deeds, and people who are the faithful ones, the concern is that they are going to be chote, and therefore Hashem says, I'm kind of worried about my faithful, the ones who are already ripe. I'm worried that they're going to be chote, and they might die. So the Gemara then says, "Ini, is that true? Vahu talmida." David Bishavusa de Rav Alexandri, Vishachiv Adazutar. Is this true? There was a Talmud who lived in the neighborhood of Rav Alexandri, and he died when he was still young. He died prematurely. The Amar, Iboi Haimer Abanon Havechai. And Rav Alexandri said, if he had, Rashi says, Leos Hoich B'derech Tovim Havechai, if he had followed a better path, if he had done more good deeds, he would have lived longer. The Gemara says, "Vim Isa Dilma Mehim Kedoshav Lo Yamin Hava." Right, the idea of Heim B'Kedosh Shel Vayamin, I didn't say it properly before. The idea before of Heim B'Kedosh Shel Vayamin is Hashem loves the people who are doing well, right? He loves the people who are tzaddikim even in their young age, and he might take them early, to prematurely, in order to get them before they fall into sin. That's the idea. So just like the ripe figs, the concern is that they're going to be nisrach when they're already ripe. The concern is that they're going to get worse. So Hashem, and therefore you take the ones that are not ripe to kind of grab them before they rot. So too Hashem might take someone in his prime before he falls into disfavor, before he is nichshal with averos. And so the Gemara says here, why did Rav Alexandri say that this young Talmud Chacham who died, had he done better, he might have lived, as if to say it was his chataim that did him in, and that's why he died young. Maybe he died young, not because of his chataim, but because Hashem wanted to grab him early before he would fall into chait, in order to preserve him. So the Gemara answer is no. There, ha'umi bai birbosav hava, that Talmud Chacham was known as being disrespectful of his Rabbanim. So Rabbi Alexandri knew specifically with respect to that individual that he was taken early because he was doing something wrong. That's not to say that someone who was a full tzaddik might have been taken early because of this idea of B'Kedosh Shel Vayamin in order to preempt any kind of wrongdoing. Fine, next pasuk. Rabbi Yochanan kimati l'haikra b'chi. Rabbi Yochanan, when he came to the following pasuk, he would cry. What's the pasuk? V'karavti aleichem l'mishpat. So the pasuk says, the pasuk of Malachi says that Hashem is going to bring justice to people who do chataim, and it lists specifically mechashvim, people who are engaging in sorcery, minafim, people who engage in adultery, v'nishvayim l'shaker, people who swear falsely, uva'ushke schar sacher, people who do not pay their workers on time. So he analyzed it as following, Rabbi Yochanan. Eved sherabu mekarvo ladono, umamayer ladio, laido, takana yishlo. A servant, meaning a Jewish people, the people who their master, Hashem, is scrutinizing their deeds, and is exacting punishment and is quick to judge them. Takana yishlo, do they have any hope? We're all very vulnerable and we're all very susceptible to judgment from Hashem. That's why he cried. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So coming off that pasuk as well, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, "Oy lanu sheshaka aleinu hakasuv kalos kechamuros." We're all in big trouble because this pasuk seems to equate minimal sins with very chamur dika sins. Right on in the same line, in the same breath, it's talking about people who are engaged in sorcery, people who are engaged in adultery, and at the same time it's talking about people who swear falsely, which is also, I guess, pretty bad, but also people who withhold their wages of their employees. That doesn't seem to be as bad as adultery, for example. And so the fact that everything is lumped together shows that we're kind of all in trouble, said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that even small misdeeds are judged harshly, just like big misdeeds. Someone who misjudges a ger, someone who treats a ger unfairly, a convert, it's as if they've treated Hashem unfairly, directly. Meaning treating a ger directly is as if you're going directly against the Ribono Sholem. How do you know that? Shenemar umate ger, this is from that same pasuk, it ends up by saying umate ger v'lo yireuni yamar Hashem tzvakos. Umate ger means someone who goes against the ger, but it doesn't say, but mate, if you read it, you could also read it mati if you change the nekudos. Mati lashon sheli, as if to say Hashem is speaking, and as if to say my gerim, and so if you go against the ger, it's as if you're going against Hashem himself. Am Rabbi Chanina bar Papa kolosa davar mischari bo mochlin lo miad. So Rav Chanina bar Papa says that if you do an Avera, but you are mischarit for it, you feel bad about it, you immediately repent about it, so then mochlin lo miad, you immediately are rewarded with mechila, with forgiveness. Shenemar v'lo yira'uni, Because the pasuk, again, that same pasuk said, "Umate ger v'lo yirauni," that you don't kind of fear me. That's when you're in trouble. Hayiruni, but the implication is that if you do fear me, if you immediately turn around and come around to the realization that you've done something bad, so then mochlin lehemiyad. The implication is that then you are worthy of mechila, and Hashem does forgive you. Fine. Rabbi Yochanan kimati laikra bachi. Rabbi Yochanan had another pasuk where he would cry when he came to that pasuk. The pasuk is ki es kol maaseh ha'elokim yaviva mishpat al kol ne'olam, that Hashem will judge people and bring judgment against them al kol ne'olam, even on things that are hidden, which he interpreted to mean shkagos, things that you didn't realize you did something wrong. So he says eved shirabo shokel lo shkagos kizidonos takana yeshlo, an eved who is master. A slave who his master treats his shkagos kizidonos, his accidental and unknown chataim, as if they were known chataim, does he have any hope? So too, you know, we're in big trouble because Hashem treats shkagos just like zidonos. The Turei Evan points out, by the way, that you shouldn't think that Hashem actually considers shkagos on the same plane as zidonos. Mistaken transgressions exactly equals the zonas. We know that's not case. That we know for sure that's not true, right? You get all sorts of onshim for intentional chataim, whereas for a shkaga you only have to bring a karban chatas. It's much clearly there's a different levels of chataim, and so Turi Evan says all this means is that the fact that we have to bring any onesh or any kind of kapara for a shkaga, just as if they were zidonos, that's what struck Rabbi Yochanan here. The fact that that there's culpability even for an accidental chait, that's what struck him. But it's not to say that they're actually on the same level. So the Gemara says on that same alkol nelam. So we just interpreted it to mean accidental chataim. The Gemara then says my alkol nelam. What's another interpretation of alkol nelam? Amarav zehore kina bifne chavero v'nimaspa. So this is referring to a person who kills a bug in front of his friend, and his friend is disgusted by it. Meaning you have to be sensitive to your fellow man, even on such a minor thing as killing a bug. If you know your friend is going to be sensitive to you squishing a bug in front of him, do it in a way that's not going to draw attention and that's not going to disgust him. And similarly, v'shmol amar zeharak b'fnei chavero v'nima, someone who spits in front of his friend and disgusts his friend, you should act with good manners and not disgust your friends. Mai im tov im ra, the pasuk, mai im tov im ra, this is a different pasuk, this is a pasuk in Koheles, ki es kol ma'aseh elokim yavov mishpat, al kol ne'olam im tov im ra. No, not a different pasuk, continuation of that same pasuk, al kol ne'olam im tov im ra, whether it's good or bad. So it's hard to understand what that means. Why would Hashem hold you culpable? Why are you getting punished? Why are you being scrutinized for something that's good? Right? We generally are not scrutinized. They're not punished for our good deeds. So what's a good deed that that gets punishment? Amri d'be rabiana izehanosein tztaka l'ani b'farhesia. This is someone who gives tztaka to an ani in public, meaning in a flouting way. If someone quietly comes to you for charity, for tzedakah, and you make a whole big deal about it and draw attention to it, that's obviously going to embarrass the ani and clearly inappropriate. And so that's an instance of a good deed that's just done in a terrible way and that results in punishment. We have an incident like that. Kihad Rabbi Yanai. This is like the instance involving Rabbi Yanai. Chaz Yelahu Gavra Dekayoyev Zuzo Ani Befaresia. Rav Yanai saw a person giving charity, giving tzedakah to a poor person in public. And so Rav Yanai reprimanded him. Amar lei mutav d'lo yahavis lei mehashta d'yahavis lei v'kasafte. It would have been better had you not given him any tzedakah than giving him tzedakah and embarrassing him. Divir of Shila Amri, what's another interpretation of this idea of im tov im rav, where you will be punished for doing a good deed? So Rav Shila says, or in the house of Rav Shila, they said, This is talking about a person who gives staka to a poor woman in private. That's going to sully her reputation, because people are going to see you in private with her. You were only giving tzedakah to her, but the fact that you locked yourself up in a room with her is going to make people suspicious that something inappropriate was going on.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Right. Well, no, just do it nicely. Don't lock yourself in a room with a woman if you're giving tzedakah there. Do it in Starbucks or wherever.
That's public.
Do it in a public place? Oh, I see what you're saying.
A public place is no good.
But I think the answer is there's probably a nice medium where you don't do it quite in public
electronic
and you don't...
Transfer.
What?
Electronic transfer.
Do it by electronic transfer.
That's what the Gemara was talking about.
You have to Venmo it. Exactly.
Give it to your wife to give it to her.
Or give it to your wife to give it. Yeah, there are ways to avoid these problems.
Yeah.
What's another example? Rav Amar Zeh Meshagir L'Ishto Basar She'enu Mechutach Barvei Shabasos. This is referring to a person who sends meat to his wife. That sounds like a good thing to prepare for Shabbos, but it's not properly deveined. It's not trebered, and it's Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos. So you're putting her in a really bad position. Either she's going to have to feed your treif meat, or she's going to have to lose her mind trying to treber it quickly and not do a good job. Whatever it is, you've done something not nice under the guise of being nice, right? It seems like you're doing the right thing, buying meat for your wife, Erev Shabbos, and yet you're doing it in a way that's not appropriate. You're causing trouble. the Gemara says, but what about Rava? Rava Meshager, he would always send meat to his wife on Erev Shabbos and, you know, expect her to traber it quickly. So Shaini Bas Rav Chista, the daughter of Rav Chista, who was Rava's wife, was different. The Kimwe Begava the Bekia. She was really, really good at trabering meat, so it wasn't a problem for her, and therefore he was okay doing that. Fine. Rav Yochanan kimato haikra bachi. Rav Yochanan, when he would cry at the following pasuk, Vaya ki timtzeno sa raos rabos vitzaros. So this is a pasuk in the Torah in Devarim, talking about terrible things that are going to happen to Klal Yisrael. Evet shirabu mamsi oros vitzaros takani yishlo. So he said that a slave whose master is sending horrible things, is punishing in bad ways, is there any hope for him? He was kind of despondent at the fact that the pasuk is predicting bad things for Klal Yisrael. Mairos vitzaros. So what does this mean? Ros vitzaros, bad things and painful things. Amarav ros shenasos tzaros zuazu. This means kind of doubly bad things. Specifically, bad things that cause pain. What is that? Kigon zibura v'akravta. For example, if you're bitten by a hornet and a scorpion. Rashi explains that the Gemara of Avodah Zarah teaches us that medicine. I'm sorry, what was that?
Remedy.
The remedy, thank you. The remedy for a hornet bite is warm water. And the remedy for a scorpion bite is cold water. Other way around. The remedy for a scorpion bite is warm water. The remedy for a hornet bite is cold water. And so if you get bit by a hornet and a scorpion, you're in big trouble. Because if you try the warm water, that's going to make the... V'chivuf ha-sakanta. Sorry, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says that if you do the opposite... That's even worse. That's really dangerous. So if you get bit by a hornet and a scorpion, and you try to treat one, it's going to cause bad things to happen to the other one, and vice versa. And so that's kind of an example of ros shenasos tzaros. When the Torah is describing bad things, it's not just bad things, but bad things that are kind of multiply upon one another because the remedy for one is harmful for the other. V'Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, what is ros shenasos tzaros? This is someone who gives money to a poor person when he's really, really in need of it. So what does that mean? What does it mean that you give money to a poor person when he's really in need of it? That sounds like not so terrible. It sounds pretty good. So the Rishonim there are at least three opinions in the Rishonim that I saw right here on the page as to what that means. Rabbeinu Chananel explains that this means that you lend money at a time of vulnerability, meaning he's especially vulnerable, and so because his creditors are pushing him to pay them back, and so you lend money at that time of vulnerability, but then you're his creditor, and then you open the door for harassing him, right? So you've seemed to have been doing a good deed by getting his creditors off his back, but then you make it just as bad or even worse because then you start harassing him just as bad as the creditors that we're doing. So that's no good. Rabbeinu Tam in the Tosfos here says, Tzaros Rabos Rose, he says, because going to Tafsu Hamoshel, where the tax collector is on this guy's back, and he's about to, and he's really, really pushing him to pay his taxes, and he says, you're going to get thrown in jail, you're in big trouble. But in the back of his mind, the tax collector knows that if there's no money here, he's going to move on to the next guy. He's going to kind of leave this guy alone. And then just at the last minute, you come and you say, oh, let me lend you money to pay the tax collector. So now you've put the guy in a really bad position. Had you not lent the money, the tax collector would have moved on to the other guy. You now gave money to this guy to pay the tax collector, and now the guy owes money to you. So you really took advantage and put him in a really worse position.
You call Yitzweiss and it all goes away.
Right. That would also work, right. Right. And Rashi says that the problem here is that you waited until he was really bedochak, that you should have kind of seen that the guy was entering into hard times and given him some tzedakah money or lent him money then, and then he would have been able to get back on his feet. If you kind of keep on pushing, kicking the can down the road, and it gets worse and worse, and he's really in trouble, prices will have gone up by then, or maybe he doesn't have as much buying power in the marketplace because people know that he's really down and out, they'll take advantage of him. And so, because you delayed in giving him the tzedakah money, that made it all the worse. That's Moslani Peshat Stochu. So it's three different interpretations of what that means. All situations, basically, where you make a guy's position worse by the way you gave the money, either the timing or by making him unable to take advantage of remedies that he might have had had you not come to his rescue. Okay. Amar Rava Hainu Damri Inshi Zuzo Alala Lo Shchicha Letrisa Shchicha. So Rava says this is like the phrase that people say, money for produce is not easy to come by, but money for wasting or money for getting yourself into a worse situation is easy to come by. Whatever, that's an explication of the ideas that we just mentioned, of this idea of mamsi mos lani b'shas tochka. Okay. V'chara api bo bayom, v'chara api bo bayom ahu, v'azavtim v'istarti panay mehem. So this is a continuation of the same theme in that in Devarim about these terrible things that are going to happen to Klal Yisrael. Amar Rav Bardua Bar Tivyumi Amar Rav Kol She'eno Behester Panim Eino Mehem Kol She'eno Bo'il Echol Eino Mehem. So he says the fact that the psukim here. This is the Tochka, right? The fact that these psukim are talking about Klal Yisrael suffering so much, it's almost as if to say you can identify who's Jewish by who's suffering. If you don't suffer, you're not really Jewish. This sounds like a Yiddish joke kind of thing. But that's what he's saying. He's saying if you don't experience Hester Panim, if you don't experience difficult times in the sense of Hashem not being immediately apparent in his doing good for Klal Yisrael, then you're not part of the Jewish people. Part of being the Jewish people is experiencing Hester Panim. And similarly, Kol She'eino Bo'il, if you're not devoured by hunger, by all these kolos that's going on in the Tochla, Eino Mehem, you're not part of the Jewish people. You're not. It's an indication that you're not really, as Rashi says, Miseri Yisrael.
That's part of the message to the Ger, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's the by joining the Jewish people, you're buying into, right? So Amrle Rabbanan LeRava. So the Rabbanan turned to Rava, who seemed to be doing pretty well. Other people were suffering, and Rava was not suffering. So they said to Rava, Mar lo behester panim yisei v'lo bo echol yisei. They said, you seem to be doing well. You are not behester panim. So almost as if questioning his Jewishness. So Rava, to defend himself, said, I seem to be doing well, but really, I'm also having problems. Miyadusu, oh, so Amr Lahu, he said to them, Miyadusu kamim mishadrana betzina be'ish shavar malka. You don't even know how much I have to privately pay to the shavar malka, to the king. I have to pay bribes all the time, and I do things to help save the Jewish people. So I'm also suffering. That's also kind of having a form of having money taken from me, even though I'm doing it voluntarily, but I'm here, I'm at all this money, so I'm also suffering just as much as everyone else. Nevertheless, Yavu Be'rabanani Nayu. Still, the rabbis were kind of looking down on him and suspecting him of not suffering along with everyone else well enough. So, Adahachi, in the meantime, Shadur Debe Shavar Malka Vigarvuhu. In the meantime, they jailed Rava. They put Rava, they took Rava, the Shavar Malka, the king, and they put Rava in jail. So Amar, so he said, Hainu Detanya, this reflects the teaching of the Braisa, Amar Abin Shimon Amuyal, Kol Makam Shenasa Chachamim Einayim, O Miso Oni. That wherever the Chachamim look down on you, they kind of are questioning you and are skeptical, so you're going to suffer as a result, either with Misa, with death, or Oni, or poverty. Meaning the fact that they didn't trust Rava so much and they thought that he wasn't suffering long enough with everyone else ultimately resulted in him actually suffering by being put in jail. Fine. The Gemara now continues with another pasuk, Vainochi aster aster panai bayomahu, that I will hide my face on that day. Again, Hashem is saying bad things are going to happen to the Jewish people. I'm going to be hidden. So Amar Rava, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Afal pishi starti panai mehem, Hashem said that even though I have hester panim, even though I hide myself from them, b'chalom adaber bo. As Rashi explains, the pasuk said, Anocha aster aster panai bayomahu, on that day. But the implication is that it's only during the day that there's going to be hester panim, but Hashem is still going to come to us and offer us hope at night. Rashi says, "Shemarim l'chalom k'dishi yispal al-adavar," so that it'll give us hope that we won't completely lose hope and we'll be able to still dive into Hashem to make things better.
Why doesn't the Gemara bring a proof of Purim? Because this is the famous pasuk, "By Purim."
Yeah. What? But it says "By Yomahu" there.
No, by Hestapanim. This idea that the Mefarshim translate Hestapanim is referring to Purim.
Yeah, no, that's true. Hestapanim is. Purim is an example of Hester Panim,
right, so
for sure. No, but the Gemara here is playing on the fact that it says Bayomahu on that day.
Not
on Hester Panim. Not, well, it's saying that there's going to be Hester Panim on that day, the implication being that at night there's not so much Hester Panim, that Hashem reveals himself
like in Purim,
at night.
Which would happen at night at Purim.
Oh, okay. All right. You're saying that's an example of a situation,
yes,
where at night there was a lack of Hester Panim. Okay, good. Yeah. Good. Rav Yosef Amar Yado Nituya Aleinu. So Rav Yosef says, notwithstanding all these terrible proclamations and predictions of bad times for the Jewish people, Yado Nituya Aleinu, Hashem still protects us. His hand is over us. Shenamar Vitzel Yadai Kisi Sicha, that I will cover you in the shadow of my hand. Rav Yeshua ben Chananya Havakai Be Kesar. Rav Yeshua ben Chananya went to the house of Caesar, to the palace of Caesar. Ach vileahu aprikursa, so there was an apikoros there who gestured with his hand. I don't know how you gesture this with your hand, but somehow he gestured with his hand the following sentiment. Ama dadrinu mare lape mine, that you are a nation where Hashem turns his face from you. As if to say, the Jewish people are suffering. Hashem, they experience Hester Panim. That's how the Asapikoros kind of, in a mocking way, gestured to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. So what did Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya do? He responded, Ach Vilei, he gestured to him, Yodo Netu Ya Aleinu. That notwithstanding the Hester Panim, Hashem still protects us. Hashem is still behind us. So Amr Lei Kesar Rabbi Yeshua, my Ach Vilei. So the Caesar kind of got wind of the fact that these people are gesturing these strange things to each other. So the Caesar said to Rabbi Yeshua, what did he gesture to you? And so Rabbi Yeshua responded, Ama dadrinu mare lape mine. He said he gestured this idea that Hashem has Hester Panim, that he turns his back to us. Vanamach v'inolei, and I responded to him. I gestured back. Yado nutu yalenu, that his hand is outstretched over us, protecting us. Amru leila hu mina. So they said to this min, to this apikores, my ach vislei. What did you gesture to him? He was kind of testing each one and saying, or comparing their stories. So they said to him, to this min, what did you gesture to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya? So he responded, Ama de hadrina mare mine. He said, I gestured that the Jewish people are a people where Hashem turns his back on them. Umayach filei. And then they asked this min, and what did Rabbi Yeshua respond back to you? What did he gesture back to you? Lo yadanis. He said, I don't know. So the Caesar said, Amru, gavra de lo yada, my mach filei. A person who doesn't know what's being gestured back to him, what's being gestured back to him, b'machoch yichavi kamei malka, should he be in the presence of the king? Meaning, people, only very sophisticated people who know what they're communicating back and forth, should be in the presence of the king, and therefore, afku v'katluhu, they took him away, and they killed him. I guess that's what you get for starting up the Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya and gesturing as something that was disrespectful to the Jewish people. When Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was dying, when he was weak, this is a good story. I had a happy ending, right? The apikores was taken away. He was killed, and it all happened because Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya seemed to have handled him properly. He responded confidently back that Hashem is protecting us, and then it all resulted in the Caesar killing the bad guy. So when Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was dying, when he was sick, so the rabbi said to him, who's going to protect us now? Who's going to defend us now from these apikorsin? You knew how to handle yourself, but who's going to do it in the future? So Amar Lahem, so he said to them, don't worry if I'm gone. You're right, I knew how to handle the apikorsin very well. Don't worry about the fact that I'm going to be gone, because the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, of the Itzam Mibanim Nisrucha Chachmasan, that when the wisdom or the ideas go away from his children, their wisdom will putrefy. What does that mean? Kevan she'av de etzah mibanim, when the when the good ideas go away from the Jewish people, meaning when I, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, die and there's not going to be anyone smart enough to figure out how to deal with these apikorsim, nisrucha chachmasan she'umas olam, their wisdom and their cunning will go down in parallel. So you don't have so much to worry about. I was able to handle this apikoros, but in the future there won't be such sharp apikorsim because I won't be around. We go down in tandem. V'vayseim ha'me'acha. Alternatively, you can learn that same idea from a different pasuk. V'yomer nasa v'nelcha v'nelcha v'negdecha. This is when Esav and Yaakov meet, right? So Esav suggests to him, let's go together. And Yaakov responds, no, I have to walk slower because I'm with my kids and wife, etc. And I think Rashi even points out there that the idea of Nisa v'nelcha v'elcha l'negdecha is an allusion to this idea that when the Jewish people, when the non-Jews are rising, then the Jewish people are rising. And when the non-Jews go down, the Jewish people go down, meaning they're, to some degree, Esav and Yaakov walk in tandem. And when they're on, there, we're doing well. There's another Gemara that says just the opposite, and I think in Rashi right near there. So maybe I don't know, but you have to reconcile those two memories somehow. But at least here, the idea is that when we are blessed with smart enough people to counter their very smart apikorsin, so they have very smart apikorsin, when we lack that wisdom, so then they're not going to present such difficult challenges in tandem with that. Okay, Rav Ila have a solik bedarga. So Rav Ila was going up the stairs to Bei Rav Barshila at the house of Rav Barshila. Shame liyanuka, and he heard a kid Dava Kakari who was reading the following pasuk: Ki ne yotzer harim uveri ruach magidu adam asicha, the creator of the mountains and the creator of the winds, and to the person who the creator who tells people what they should say. Amar So he said, Eved Shirabo Magid Vol Masicho Takani Yeshlo, a person where Hashem tells, it's not what tells him what to say, but it's more that he scrutinizes what he said, what we say. If Hashem is scrutinizing everything that we say, do we have any hope? He was kind of complaining that, or lamenting the fact that the Pasuk says that Hashem scrutinizes the things we say. So, my masicho, what is this referring to, the things we say? Amarav, afilu sicha yeterish ben ishto, agidim ol adam mishas misa. That even the minor and inconsequential conversations that a person has between his between himself and his wife, they're recounted to him at the time of his death. In other words, we're accountable for everything that we say, even frivolous small things.
So we're supposed to talk to our wives?
So that the Gemara is going to say, Ini, is that really true that it's not okay to speak frivolously with your wife, to have small talk with your wife? For Rav Kahana, this is a famous Gemara, Rav Kahana have a gani to say puria de Rav. Rav Kahana hid under the bed of Rav because he wanted to learn from his Rebbe all sorts of midos, and therefore he wanted to learn from his Rebbe even how he acts with his wife in the bedroom. Vishame desach vitsachak, and he heard his Rebbe, Rav, who was speaking, he was conversing, and even laughing, vasatzrachav, and then having relations. So Amar, dami pumya de Rav, kamandu otoim tafshila. And he kind of lamented the fact that his Rebbe, his speech is like someone who didn't have anything to eat, who didn't, who wasn't sophisticated enough to taste a good meal or something like that. He was lamenting the fact that his master, his that Rav was speaking so coarsely with his wife. So Amar lay. So Rav, I guess he said this thought out loud, which wasn't very smart. And Rav got wind that there was someone hiding under his bed. Right. So Amar. So Rav said. So Amar lay Kana. He said Kana. Poke lay. Poke, get out of here. Lav orachur. This isn't what you're supposed to be doing. It's not nice to hang out under my bed.
I hope this is allegorical.
I'm assuming this is allegorical. I don't know. So the Gemara, this is all a question, because here it seems like Rav was speaking frivolously with his wife, and yet the pasuk that we just quoted seemed to say that we're held accountable for frivolous speech. Like, should one only, you know, be very, very measured with their words and not have casual conversation or frivolous conversation with their wife? So Gemara answers, lo kasha, kan de tzarech uretsuye, hadolo tzarech uretsuye. Rav spoke like this because he needed to kind of cajole her and to speak to her, to convince her to have relations with him, I guess. But where that's not necessary, then it's not necessary. I think the lesson of the Gemara is, it's hard to glean a lesson exactly what it's saying, but the lesson is that it's okay to have, you know, appropriate frivolous talk with your wife in normal quantities, but to completely overdo it and completely, totally frivolous, everything in good measure, that's not appropriate. Okay, the Gemara then said, the quotes of Pasuk, v'im from Yirmiyahu, v'im lo tishma'uha b'mistarim tivke nafshi mipnei gava. If you don't listen to the Torah, b'mistarim tivke, I will cry in the hidden places, mipnei gava, because of the lost pride. Lost pride of Klal Yisrael. Amrav Shmuel bar Inya Yishmei Derav. Makom Yishol Kadosh Baruch Hu Mistarim Shmo. There's a place that Hakadosh Baruch Hu has called Mistarim. Mipnei Ma, and that's the place where he cries. My Mipnei Gava. What is this idea of he's crying because of the pride? Amrav Shmuel bar Yitzchak Mipnei Gavasan Shu Yisrael Shnitu Lamhem Vinasna Avdei Kacham. Because of the pride of Klal Yisrael that was taken from them and given to the Avdei Kacham. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani Amr Mipnei Gavasan Shal Malchus Shemayim. Because of the pride of Malchus Shemayim, meaning that there's a Chil Hashem, that the pride of Malchus Shemayim went down. Miika b'chia kamei de Kadosh Baruch Hu. Is it true that Hashem ever cries? Doesn't sound right. V'amar av papa ina tzivus v'nei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is never sad. Shneimar hod v'adar ufanav oz v'ched v'bimkomo. Hashem is always happy. There's always joy. There's always greatness in His place. Lokashia habibatei gavai habibatei avrai. Hashem never cries outwardly, but in the inner sanctums, in b'mistarim, Hashem cries. Bate brailo, is it true that Hashem never cries out in public? Vaksiv, vaykra adini Hashem tzvakos beyomahu v'bechi v'mispeidu v'karcho v'chagor sak. Sounds like this pasuk is describing Hashem crying in a very overt way. So my answer is, shiny churban beis hamikdash. The churban beis hamikdash was an extraordinary event that caused Hashem to cry out loud. Da'afiu ma'alchei shalom b'chu, because for that, even the angels of peace cried, Shnemar hein areilim tzaku chutza malchei shalom mar yivkayon. That was a very traumatic event, and therefore Hashem and even the Malchei Hashem cried. The Gemara then says, V'dema tidma v'teret eini dima ki nishpa either Hashem. Amar Rav Lazar, shalosh dima v'salot. So the pasuk is describing tears. Rav Lazar says, these three tears, shalosh dima v'salot lama, what were they for? Achas shal mikdash rishon, one was for the Churban base of mikdash, the first base of mikdash. The achas al mikdash sheni, the second was on the second base of mikdash being destroyed. The achas al yisrael shagolum koman, and the third was on the exile of the Jewish people outside of Eretz Yisrael. Vika d'amri, alternatively, achas al bitul Torah. Alternatively, you could say one was for the bitul Torah that Klal Yisrael endured. Bishlon diomer Klal Yisrael shagolu. If you want to say that it was for the exile of the Jewish people, that's why Hashem shed a tear. Hainu d'chsev ki nishba ider Hashem. That because the flock of Hashem was captured, that we understand what that means. The flock of Hashem was captured, meaning they were taken out of Eretz Yisrael. That's what it's referring to. Elman diomer al bitul Torah, my ki nishba ider Hashem. How does nishba ider Hashem, the capturing of the flock of Hashem, how does that indicate bitul Torah? The Gemara answers, no, it's the same event. Kevin shegolu Yisrael mimkoman imcha bitul Torah gadol mizeh. The greatest bitul Torah was the fact that they were exiled from Eretz Yisrael. Their Torah learning wasn't good, or maybe during the Golus they weren't able to learn Torah. And therefore, that's referring to the same event. Tana Rabbanan, Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bocha Aleihem B'chol Yom. Three things Hashem cries for each day. Al-She'ef Shel Asak B'Torah are three types of people. Someone who is able to learn Torah Ve'eino Osek and doesn't fulfill his potential in learning. Ve'al-She'ef Shel Asak B'Torah Osek, someone who doesn't have potential in learning and yet wastes his time learning Torah. That's not to say that you shouldn't try to learn, but it's people who maybe should be getting a job and because they have no capability of learning Torah, and they just sit and try to learn Torah. So at a certain point, you have to be realistic about what your capabilities are. Valparnas hamizgoel atzibor, and on a leader that's haughty. Rebbe have a nukit sefer kinos. Rebbe would take sefer kinos. I think this is referring to Eicha, v'kakari begaveh, and he would read. He would read Eicha. Kimat alai psukah. When he came to the following pasuk in Eicha, Yishlich meshamayim eretz nafal min yadea, Amar miigruam wabira mikta. So he read a pasuk about Hashem that Klal Yisrael fell so far. So he said they fell so far, even from a very high attic to a very deep pit, from extremes. Rabbi Rav Chiya v'shakli v'azu borcha. They were walking on the path. Kimatu Masa, when they came to a certain town, Amri Ikatsurba Mirabanan Hacha, Nezel Vinika Bilape. Let's find out if there's a Talmud Chacham here, and if there's a Talmud Chacham here, we'll go greet him. So Amri, they said, Ikatsurba Mirabanan Hacha. There is a Talmud Chacham in this town, Umori Naimhu, but he's blind. He's a blind Talmud Chacham. So Amri Reb Chio Rebbe. So Reb Chio said to Rebbe, Tivat, you stay here. Well, tazalza bin siyuscha, because you're the nasi, and it would be disrespectful to the nasi to come go visit someone who's blind. It's hard to understand what that really means, but if somehow he felt it was beneath Rebbe's kavod to go visit this blind Talmud Chacham, and instead, ezelana, I'll go v'akabil apay, and I'll go and visit him instead. So takvei, Rebbe didn't like that advice at all, so he grabbed him. And he went with him. So they met with this blind Talmud Chacham, and as they were preparing to leave, Amar Lahu, he said to them, Atem hikbaltem panim hanirim ve'inan roin. You visited a person who is seen but who can't see. Right? Hashem watches over me, but I can't see. Tizku lahakbil panim haroim ve'inan nirin. You should have the zuchus of meeting Hashem, meaning of sitting with Hashem and benefiting from Hashem, the panim haroim, the face that sees, ve'ina nir and can't be seen. It's a nice bracha. It's very poetic. So Amr Lei, Rebbe said to Rabbi Chiya, he said, hashta minasan mehai birchasa. If you had been successful in keeping me from meeting with this blind Talmid Chacham, you would have deprived me of this very beautiful bracha. So Amrulei, they said to the blind Talmid Chacham, Miman Shmielcha, where do you even know this concept from? Mipirkei d'Rav Yaakov Shmieli, so the blind Talmid Chacham said, I learned it from the teachings of Rav Yaakov. Rav Yaakov ish Kfar Chitia, Rav Yaakov from Kfar Chitia, have a makbil apei d'Rabbei kol yuma. He would greet his Rebbe every day. Kikash, and when he started to get old, Amar Leh, his Rebbe said to him, Lunitztair mar d'lo yachil mar. He said, don't put yourself out so much. I understand that you're getting old, that it's hard for you to come visit me. So Amar Leh, mizuter, so he said, mizuter mai d'chsiv b'hu rabban, and it's not a small thing, that which is written, v'yichi od l'anetzach l'yira ha'shachas kiril chachamim yamusu. This memory of Chazal, where they quote the pasuk that we just quoted from Tehillim, they understand to mean Ma'aroa Chachamim Mitasan Yichya B'Chayim Alachas V'Kama. The pasuk speaks positively about people who visit Chachamim when they die, meaning that accompany them to their death. So Alachas so Kal V'Chomer, people who visit Chachamim Talmid Chachamim when they're alive. And so, in other words, he was saying that's very important to meet your their Rebbe. Rav Idi Avud Rav Yaakov Bar Idi Hava Ragel Da Hava Azol Tulsi Archei Burcha V'Chad Yuma B'Bei Rav. So he lived a 3-month journey from his Rebbe, Rashi explains. And so he would go travel 3 months, but he wanted to be back with his wife for Yontif, right? So after Sukkot would end, he would travel 3 months. He would meet with his Rebbe for 1 day, and then it would be time to go home already because it would take 3 months to get back by Sukkot, by Pesach time. So he would travel 3 months to meet with his Rebbe, spend a day with his Rebbe, and then go back home to his wife. So his fellow rabbis mocked him a little, and they said, you're a guy who hangs out with his Rebbe for 1 day. So Chosh Daite, that made him sad. He didn't like that he was being mocked. And he kind of said to himself, people are laughing at me. Rav Yochanan said, please, lo tanish lu rabbanan. Don't punish the rabbis for mocking you in that way. Nafag Rav Yochanan lo b'midrasha v'darash, and Rav Yochanan went out in the Beis Medrash and said, v'osi yom, to defend this conduct of, who was this? Rav Idi bar Avud Rav Yaakov. He said, v'osi yom yom yidrashun v'das darki yechafesun. He quoted a pasuk in Yishayahu, "Ukvichi bayom dorshin oso v'layla in dorshin oso." The pasuk seems to say that you darshin Torah at day. So why does it say only a day? Do we not darshin Torah at night also? El lomer lecha kol osek b'Torah afilu yom echad b'shana ma'ala v'kasev kiu asa kol shana kula. This is to teach you that even if you only learn Torah 1 day in the year, it's as if you have learned Torah all year long. So this is how he defended the conduct of Rav Idi Avod Rav Yaakov, who only visited his Rebbe 1 day a year. And the same thing is true by negative things. Dichsiv, b'mispar yamim asher tartem es aretz, that Klal Yisrael were kept in the desert for 40 years to parallel the 40 days of the Meraglim. V'chi arbaim shana chatu, did the Meraglim sin for 40 years? V'alar barim yom chatu, they were only sinning in a way, they were spying the land for 40 days. It's to teach you that someone who sins for 1 day a year, it's as if he sinned for the entire year, and therefore Klal Yisrael are punished for 40 days in the midbar to parallel the 40 days of the spying in of the Meraglim.
59 minutes.
59, okay.